great to see all of you. I'm Pastor Howard Shea, and I'm really glad to bring you this message this morning. I was wondering if any of you recognize there's a common theme in the songs that we were singing in the worship today. Okay, that's good. Freedom, right. That's great. I really appreciate the worship team for selecting those songs. And today I'm going to be talking about being set free from sinful strongholds. Last time I got to speak with you, I talked to you about standing firm victoriously in spiritual warfare, Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 20. And I wanted to follow up with that today by talking about another topic that's very important in terms of experiencing freedom in Christ, and that is talking about how we can be set free from sinful strongholds. And so I'd like for us to read this passage together, Ephesians 4, 25 to 32. Let's read this together. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I'd like to begin this morning by posing some realistic situations and seeing if you can identify with any of the following. Number one, you want to pray and worship God, and you want to read the Bible, but somehow you feel like something is holding you back. Some force is preventing you. Or you might be struggling with irrational fears. For some reason, you know, different fears come up and you don't know how to deal with these fears. Or else you might be struggling with some sinful habits passed down from your family. You're constantly feeling angry and bitter. Or lastly, you constantly feel like you're not as good as other people. And I just want to share a little bit with you some of the struggle I had when I was growing up. The last one was the one that really I grappled with for a long time. You know, when I was growing up, there was a label that was always being placed upon me by my parents, by teachers, that I'm not as good as my older brothers. Like, how come you're not as good? How come you're not as smart? How come you don't get straight A's? And how come this? And how come that? And so I was feeling really a lot of struggle with dealing with this feeling of inferiority. And for me, that was one of the struggles I had to deal with when I was growing up. But I want to tell you that once I became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ set me free. You know, for the first time, I realized that God loves you and me not because of what we can achieve, not because of what we can earn, how good we look, but simply because of who we are. And God loves you and me so much that he even paid the price of the blood of his son to come and pay for our sins, and so that we can receive eternal life. And so after I became a Christian, I was really set free when I really understood the gospel, when I really understood how much God loved you and me, and that there's no way we can be able to work to achieve his approval. He already loves us. And, you know, once I realize that I'm loved and I'm accepted by God, then I am free to do things to honor him and to glorify him and to just accept who I am and the way that God has created me. And so today I just wanted to share with you that if you struggle with any of these things, it's very likely that you're struggling with what's called strongholds. Now, this is something that is very important in spiritual warfare. It's dealing with strongholds. Okay, and the word stronghold here comes in this passage is the word topos, and it means room or opportunity or place. Okay, and in terms of spiritual warfare, we give room or opportunity for the enemy to afflict us. And it could be things that have been passed down from our families, not things that we have done. Or it could be habitual sins, or it could be generational sins. So I would like to touch upon that today in our message. And if you're interested in this, you can come talk to me later, and I'll be willing to talk to you more about these things. But I wanted to tell you that during the last 9 years I've been at VOH, God has given me an opportunity to pray with a lot of people. People from outside our church, people that had just came in, and also people within our church. And I've noticed these are some of the things that were very common in terms of the type of strongholds that people were encountering. Number one would be involvement in other religions. Worship of idols, worship of Buddha, Hindu gods, okay, Asian gods, other type of gods. Okay, that's one thing that I encountered a lot. I also encountered people dabbling in astrology, witchcraft, New Age, Satanism, Ouija board. And then there's what's called the emotional strongholds, bitterness, fits of anger, abusive behavior. And then there are sexual sins like sexual immorality, sexual abuse. And then there's being the victim of being cursed by someone of authority. And I can totally relate to that. I remember very vividly in seventh grade, my algebra professor said to me, "How come you're not like your older brothers?" You know, and that really hurt me during that time. And I'll never forget that. But thank God that, you know, now that doesn't bother me anymore. But or some traumatic event that happened. Like, for example, you could have been a victim of some abuse or something happened that was very traumatic. And that's something that stays with you for a long time, especially if there's something that's traumatic and you felt as though God wasn't there to help you to deal with that. So I'm just wondering if that some of these things might resonate with some of you. And these are real life problems. These are real life struggles that people, even people who go to church, they deal with. And so I just want to tell you that these are the struggles that I've seen a lot. And one simple illustration I want to give you to you, it comes from Charles Kraft. He's a professor in Fuller. He wrote this book called Defeating Dark Angels. But one of the most helpful illustrations about strongholds is like having rats in your garage, okay? And so how do we have rats in the first place? First, you leave the door open and you give them room to enter. Secondly, you give them garbage, okay? And the rats will feed upon garbage, and then there's no cat or dog to chase them away, okay? So how do you get rid of these things? Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But some important clarifications I wanted to tell you right off, that we believers can allow room for the devil to afflict us through sinful strongholds, but we cannot be indwelt by the devil. So that's something you don't have to be afraid about. Okay, and also we are owned by God, and believers, we cannot be owned by Satan. Now that's already settled. So how do we get rid of these strongholds? Well, just like the analogy of getting rid of the rats, first you get rid of the garbage. Okay, and secondly, you wash the trash bin and clean up the garbage. And then thirdly, I like this, put in the cat. And then the cat will chase away the rats. Does that make sense to you? Okay, this is just something very simple. And today I want to talk to you about what the Bible says in Ephesians 4, 25 to 32 about strongholds and how we can get rid of them. And first of all, I just want to tell you today, my main point is the Holy Spirit wants to set you and me free from sinful strongholds for the following reasons. For number one, we can live a godly life that glorifies God the Father. Secondly, we can reflect the character of Christ. And thirdly, we can experience more of the filling of the Holy Spirit and His empowerment. So, you know, the Trinity is featured a lot in the book of Ephesians. And so here we see that the Holy Spirit wants to set us free so we can experience a godly life from God the Father. We can reflect God the Son's character, and we can experience the filling of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So in this passage we read today, I wanted to key in on four key strongholds. Number one, it would be deception. Number two would be deep anger or bitterness. Number three would be hurtful speech or slander. And number four would be unresolved bitterness. So this is what I'd like to deal with this morning. And so the number one thing that Paul mentions in Ephesians 4, 25 to 32, now in the context of Ephesians 4 and 5, he's talking about how do we live the new life in Christ. And so he's talking about some of the things we need to get rid of, some of the garbage we need to get rid of, and then the righteous traits that we ask God to instill in us. So the first thing is we need to get rid of deception and falsehood and speak the truth to one another. So let's read this verse in verse 25, Ephesians 4:25. It says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." And as I was meditating on this message, I started to realize that a lot of times we buy into lies from the enemy, or we might deceive ourselves or try to deceive other people. And the devil is the father of lies. So habitual lying and deception will give the demonic spirit the room to operate. Now, I just want to give you an example in the Bible. There's an example of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. And I'll just give you a little context a little bit. In Acts chapters 2 to 5, you see the founding of the early church. That's a very pivotal event in the book of Acts. Okay, and so it was very important that everything has to have a solid foundation. But then what we see in Acts chapter 4, you see the believers being of one mind. They're sharing with each other. They're showing love and care for one another. They're exhibiting the love of Christ to each other. And then this couple comes in. Acts chapter 5 is devoted to this couple. Now, what's very interesting about this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, is that they have the appearance of being a genuine believer. Okay, they look really good on the outside, but what they did is they pretended to sell a whole plot of land, but they kept part of the price. Back then, they were generous believers. They would sell their land and then give the proceeds to the church to help the church, and especially help the poor people who are in need. But Ananias and Sapphira, they pretended to sell the land, but they kept back part of the price. And what was amazing was Peter, through the Holy Spirit, he saw through their actions. And so he rebuked them. Okay, he said this, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God." And God put them to death as the severest form of discipline for them. Now, I just want to say that I believe that Ananias and Sapphira, they were not genuine believers. Okay, they outwardly looked like believers, but they were not. And they were cheating God and cheating the church. So I just wanted to give you that example. And it was very interesting. Acts chapter 5, Peter says, "Why has Satan filled your heart?" I thought that was a phrase I thought was very interesting. So God wants us to be truthful to one another and to be genuine. And I wanted to submit to you today as I was praying through this passage, I think that sometimes we may have the danger of trying to be somebody we're not. You know, we'll put up a false front. Maybe we're not able to accept who we are, and we try to be somebody else. Okay, God wants us to be truthful to one another. God wants us to be genuine. And we can be ourselves. We don't have to be like someone else. God has created you and me exactly with the gifts and abilities and looks. And so you be thankful for who you are as God created you. Ephesians 4:25 says this, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Now, the second stronghold here is mentioned in this passage is unresolved anger. Unresolved anger. Let's read this verse together, Ephesians 4, 26 to 28. "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now, did you notice that last phrase? It was very interesting. It says, giving place to the devil. Okay, that means that if we have unresolved and harbor anger in our hearts against another person, we can actually leave room for the devil to operate. Okay, let me give you some examples. Okay, now, one example is Cain. And Cain, the reason why he got angry is because, you know, he gave an offering of vegetables, and Abel gave an offering of the first of the flocks, and God rejected Cain's offering, but looked with favor upon Abel's offering. And so he was really mad. He was so mad at his brother that he murdered Abel. Okay? And then also we see King Saul. King Saul was a type of person who's very insecure. You know, when he sees someone better than he is, then he's filled with hatred, and he's filled with anger and thoughts of murder. And so God favored David, and God brought David so many victories. God brought David a lot of talents and gifts, and God favored David. But then Saul got really mad. He started throwing spears. He started hating David, and he chased after David, made his life really miserable because he saw someone who was better than him, and he wanted to kill him. And one time was when David was fleeing, he was in exile, and some of the priests in the temple, they actually helped him out and gave him food and shelter. And King Saul was so mad, he ordered all these priests to be killed. Okay, and so these are two examples of unresolved anger and how the devil was able to operate in people like these people. So I just want to share with you that some of the things that we need to watch out for is anger. Are you feeling angry all the time? Do you feel anger because you feel like someone's better than you, or someone's earning more than you, or someone has something you don't? Okay, watch out for that, because that is a key stronghold. Okay, and so let's take a look at this verse again. Let's read that again. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. And I just wanted to let you know that there's a godly way of dealing with anger. Okay, and I wanted to share that with you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 to 24, Jesus says this, if you're bringing your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer the gift. Now, let me ask you a question. When you're angry at somebody, when people are angry with another person, usually what's the first thing they do? What would you say? What's the first thing they do? Wouldn't it be like they tell other people how bad that person is, right? Oh, this person made me so angry, such a terrible person, and start calling them colorful names, right? Okay, yeah, that's the first thing you do, okay? But notice, this is what Jesus says. How to resolve conflict? Go and talk to the person directly. Tell the person what he did and how his actions made you feel angry and hurt. 3, tell the person how you want to be treated, and then forgive the person and reconcile. And I want to tell you a story about what happened to me when I was in Golden Gate Seminary, and I was, this is about 25 years ago, but I remember going to the Baptist Seminary, and I was living in the dorms at that time. And, you know, I really appreciate my classmates, but one time there was some of these classmates, they started to make fun of me when I was eating with my Korean friend. Okay, we would eat at a certain time, and we were eating like a ramen noodles. Okay, and these guys, they would just make fun of us. Okay, they said, oh, here you guys go again. You know, you're picking up your chopsticks and you're eating your ramen noodles. Ha 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 ha, like that. Okay, and they kept doing that every day, and actually, I got really mad. Okay, I got and you haven't seen me mad before, but you know, I was really mad. And then I said to the Korean brother, you know what, I need to talk to them. He says, no, Howard, don't do anything. No, I have to talk to them. And so I prayed about this and I said, God, you know, I'm really mad at these people and I don't want to be mad at them. Would you just help me to know what to do so I can resolve this in a way that pleases you? So I read that passage, which I just shared with you before in Matthew 5, okay? And I also read this book by William Backus talking about how to speak the truth with one another. That means he told me how to confront. So I was eating that lunch again, and here comes these two guys, and they say the same thing to me, all right? And so this time I said, Brother Bill, you know, I really appreciate the fact that we're living in the dorm together, you know, it was good to meet you and things like that. But there's something I want to tell you. You know, several times when we were eating together, you would just make fun of us, like how we eat with our chopsticks and things like that. You know, to tell you the truth, I got really mad at you. And I would like you to stop. And, you know, that's very disrespectful. And that has no place being here in the seminary. So I would like you to stop that. And could you do that? And then he backed away. He was really scared, okay? Because he never seen me mad. Okay, and when I'm mad, I really get into people, all right? And so I said, could you do that for me? Okay, I appreciate if you stop doing that. He said, yes, I'm sorry. I apologize. But will you be able to forgive me? I said, yes, I'm willing to forgive you. And that stopped. And it cleared everything. Okay, and so that was something that I remember even 25 years later. Okay, and I just want to say that I'm really appreciative in serving together with Pastor Dennis and Pastor Baldwin, because sometimes, you know, we have different ways of doing things, and sometimes we might not do things the ideal way. And I'm very thankful for Pastor Dennis, Pastor Baldwin. Sometimes they would just come and talk to me and say, hey, Howard, you know, I have something I want to talk to you about, some constructive feedback. And they would just give me suggestions on how I can do things in a better way. And I really appreciate that. You know, we're sharpening each other. Okay? And so I just want to tell you that there's a godly approach of resolving conflict. Try to set up time we can talk face to face with that person. Tell the person what they did and how the actions made you angry and hurt. And then tell them what exactly you want them to change, their actions. And then forgive the person and reconcile. And notice in these steps, you don't make personal attacks upon that person. So when I talked to Bill, I did not make a personal attack. I didn't say, you... right? I didn't call him names. I said, you did this, and it made me very angry, and I wish you would stop doing this. Okay? And so that's how you prevent this from being something very hurtful. So resolving conflict in a godly way is something that is very helpful to us. Okay? The third thing is getting rid of hurtful speech. Let's read Ephesians 4:29 together. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And, you know, as I was thinking back on my life sometimes, I have to catch myself, because sometimes I might talk smack about other people without realizing it, you know. And today, it's fashionable for us to say stuff about each other, right? Sometimes you're kidding with each other and you call each other's names and things like that. But, you know, this is something that you might think is playful, but actually it could be hurtful. It says, get rid of slander, gossip, cursing, and hurtful speech. Okay, and so that's what Paul says here. You must rid yourselves of all such these things: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Okay, when I was growing up, you know, I had a really filthy mouth. Now, you may not have realized this before, but, you know, when I was in high school, man, it was terrible. I said, F this, F that, you know, all this stuff. Okay, it was terrible. And then, you know who confronted me? It was my classmate. It was a really pretty girl in my Spanish class. And then she said, "Boy, you have a really filthy mouth." And you know, I was crushed because, you know, she was really good looking, right? And so, but I thought, oh man, I can't believe that, okay? And that resonated with me 30 years later. I still remember that. Okay, I probably need some emotional healing from that. But anyway, I remember, and I said, wow, I don't want to ever do that again, okay? And so I'm really thankful that as a result of becoming a Christian, you know, God really helped me to watch my speech. You know, no more F words and S words and all these things, okay? And so there's some proverbs I thought were really helpful. It talks about how important our speech is and the power of what we say to one another. Let's read this together, Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the righteous brings healing. Okay, when we attack people by giving labels, like, how come you're such a loser? Okay, you know, I hear that sometimes, right? Oh, come on, how come you're such a loser, right? And you might be kidding, but then, you know, sometimes it hurts because they might be thinking they're a loser, and then you're just saying, oh, you're confirming that I'm a loser, okay? All right, so just, we have to be watch out with the things that we say. And let's read Ephesians 4:29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building each other's up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. You know, I want to say that one of the best examples of Ephesians 4:29 is Pastor Kwan. I really appreciate Pastor Kwan a lot. He's always very encouraging. Even when he's giving constructive feedback in terms of what I could do better, he's always very encouraging. He always begins by saying, you know, Pastor Har, I really appreciate you did this and you did that. I want to make a recommendation to you, but, you know, I really appreciate all that you do, okay? And so he's a really good role model. And I found out that from a book, there's a really good way to talk to people, especially when you have to suggest a different course of action. Okay, can you think about a sandwich? So you have the bread, and then you have the meat, and then you have the bread again. Okay, all right, have that in your mind. So the bread part is this. Okay, he said, I'm going to pick on Gary because I know Gary. All right, so let's say Gary did something, and then he hurt my feelings, and I want to get right with him. You know, so I would say, Gary, you know what? You've been such a good friend to me. I really appreciate your friendship, and we hang out together a lot, and so, you know, I really enjoy that. But you know, there's something that you did that really hurt me, and so you did this, blank, blank, blank. And then could you not to do that next time? Okay. And so I really appreciate that because I, you know, I don't want to harbor any bad feelings toward you. Okay, so that would be the meat part. Okay, when you tell what you want them to change. And then say, the bread part is, yeah, because I want to continue to hang out with you. And you know, I think that we have a really good friendship and, you know, we can do a lot to serve the Lord together. So that would be the bread part again. Okay, so you start out with something that's very positive. And then the meat part is what you want them to change. And the bread part is something positive again. I find that to be very helpful in talking to people. So just remember that our mouths, what we say, can bring healing to people. And even how constructive feedback can also make a difference to people's lives. Okay. And then last stronghold is get rid of unresolved bitterness. Let's read this together, Ephesians 4:31-32. Said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Okay, this is one thing that I've realized. Bitterness is one of the biggest openings for the enemy to work in our lives. If you have bitterness, if someone has hurt you, has said something against you, or did something that hurt you, and you fester that bitterness, you know, it becomes like a cancer inside. Okay, you need to get rid of it. So I wanted to share with you some steps I found be helpful to get rid of bitterness, because a lot of times bitterness turns into hatred. Okay, and I've seen this happen in my life too. Number one, confess to God your bitterness, anger, and hatred toward a person who hurt you. Secondly, ask God to forgive you and cleanse you with the blood of Jesus. Thirdly, forgive the person who wronged you, and then trust that person to God. I want to say something about forgiveness. I had a misconcept about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying what that person did against you is okay. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness means that person really hurt me, did something that hurt me, but you because you want to imitate God's example, you don't hold that against them. You show them grace, okay, instead. Okay, and so you forgive them. So you forgive the person who wronged you, and then you entrust that person to God. And number four, you ask God to replace your bitterness and hatred with his ability to forgive and his love. And then you ask God for his justice to bring restoration and healing to you. Okay, I wanted to tell you that when I was growing up, I had a lot of bitterness and anger toward my parents. And sometimes they would say things that would hurt me a lot. And I struggled with that. And I didn't know how to deal with it. But after I became a Christian, God really helped me to know how to reconcile with my parents. I started to pray for them, forgive them, started to appreciate what they did. And as I started to just do these things that God told me to do, behind the scenes, God began to work on my parents. God began to work on my dad and my mom. And God allowed certain situations in their life that really humbled them. Okay? And so when I was obeying God, God was working on my parents. And God was able to mend our relationship together. Okay? It was something miraculous. And now we have a very good relationship. Whereas when I was growing up, it was very strained type of relationship. So I want to tell you that this is possible, and God can do a miraculous reconciliation and healing for those of you who might struggle with some strained relationship with your family members. Okay, I wanted to just I want to share with you. Again, a testimony of this sister named Ruth. I shared about her last time. I want to tell you about how God was able to change a person like Ruth. Last time I talked to you about her, I talked to you about how God set her free from demonic oppression, how she became a great evangelist. And today I wanted to share with you that God completely changed her character as well. What happened was... Ruth told me that when she was a non-believer, she went to a lot of parties all the time. She got drunk. She took drugs. She got involved in a lot of stuff. And when she became a Christian and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord, she was able to forgive her parents. And also, God was able to completely change her taste and in terms of what she wanted to do. And before, she wanted to get drunk, she wanted to take drugs, but God completely changed her taste. And God gave her a love for his word, love for worship, and love for just spending time with other believers. And I thought that was really amazing. I still remember that to this day. And so when I talked with Ruth about 2 weeks ago, she just mentioned to me how much she appreciated her time here at VOH, just getting to know all the brothers and sisters. And she said that, you guys also really encouraged her a lot. And now she's in Singapore winning her relatives and some of her co-workers to Christ. So I just wanted to end by sharing with you that God can really change a person. Okay, here's a person who was demonically oppressed, was struggling with sinful habits. God completely changed her, and now she's a great example. So I'd like to close my message today. Do you want God to help you to be set free from any sinful strongholds? There might be some of you today, you might be dealing with bitterness, hatred, and anger. Some of you might come from a background of idol worship, involvement in the occult, witchcraft, or paganism. And that might be something that God wants you to be set free from. You may not realize it, but the things that your ancestors did is coming to affect you. Also, you might be dealing with bitterness or abuse. Or some of you might be dealing with sexual immorality, pornography, impurity. Others might be substance abuse and drunkenness and taking drugs, things like these. And the good news I wanted to share with you today is that Lord Jesus Christ, He has won the victory, and He wants you to be set free. Jesus says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the Holy Spirit's here to be with us, to set us free, so we can live a life that's pleasing to Him. And so I'd like for us to just close our eyes at this time. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up at this time. I'd also like to ask the prayer intercessors to come at this time. I'm just wondering if this morning some of the examples I mentioned might resonate with some of you. There might be some of you who are involved in idol worship because your ancestors were in idol worship. And that might have some effects upon you even today. And I just want to say that you can be set free. You can be set free just like Ruth was set free. There might be some of you dealing with bitterness, hatred, and anger. There might be some of you dealing a lot with rejection. You feel like maybe your parents rejected you or they labeled you as inferior. Okay, there might be some of you might be dealing with some substance abuse, or you might be dealing with some impurity or something that you're ashamed of talking about. And I want to tell you that God has given you the Holy Spirit, and He's here to set you free. And I believe that today, as you come before God, God is going to do amazing work this morning. So I'd like to encourage you as we sing this next song, that this fits any of you and you would like to receive prayer, just please come on up to the front and we'll be willing to pray for you.